There is that school bell. And so you know it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this being a Monday morning, we're going to begin this week with a special feature that we do on Mondays and read this excerpt from the Rockcliffe Review, which is the bulletin of the Rockcliffe Church of Christ. And in this bulletin, I summarize the sermons that I preach there at Rockcliffe. And so this was a sermon I preached on Stephen the Evangelist, preaching it first at Rockcliffe, and then later I preached it last summer at Morrison. It was a part of their summer series at the Church of Christ at Morrison. And so I'm going to review what we learn about Stephen from Acts chapter 6 and 7, and you'll notice most of these things begin with a D. We'll begin Stephen, the disciple. Acts 6:1 says the number of disciples multiplied, and Stephen was among that number. He became a disciple when he became obedient to the faith, as the priest did in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Number 2, Stephen, the deacon. Stephen is not called a deacon, but he was appointed to deacon-like business. The word serve in serve tables of Acts chapter 6 and verse 2 is a verbal form of the noun elsewhere translated deacon. To qualify, Stephen was a man of honest report, a man of wisdom, and a man full of the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Full of the Holy Ghost likely means that Stephen had received power from the Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8 says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. But another meaning of being filled with the Spirit is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Compare Ephesians 5:18 through 20 with Colossians 3:16 and 17. Events show that this was true of Stephen as well. Number 3, Stephen, the debater. In the synagogues, certain men were disputing with Stephen, but Acts 6:9-10 tells us they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. And so now we read about Stephen, the defamed. Number 4, Stephen, the defamed. Men were suborned to be false witnesses against Stephen. They said, we heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God, and this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Acts 6:11-14. And so number 5, Stephen, the defender. At his trial, Stephen did not defend himself. He upheld the word he preached. He addressed the charges. He gave the account of their history as written in the law. He told how Moses had been resisted and how Moses told them of a prophet to come whom they should hear. As for the temple, the patriarchs had no temple. Their fathers had taken up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god Rimfram. Moses gave them a tabernacle in the wilderness according to the fashion he had seen. But David desired a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Solomon built the house. But Solomon said, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, and this is Isaiah, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Then Stephen cut them to the heart. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted and have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who has received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. Acts 7, verses 2 through 53. And so now, we have number 6, Stephen the dying martyr. Unable to resist the wisdom and spirit with which he spake, they gnashed on him with their teeth. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. Acts 7:54 and Acts 7:57 through 58. Stephen was glorious in death, with a face like that of an angel. Being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the Lord and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 6:15, and then Acts 7:55 through, or and 55 through 56, and 59 through 60. And so now we come to the last point, and that is Stephen the departed. He fell asleep. Acts 7 and verse 60. That is a peaceful way to describe a violent death. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him, Acts 8 and verse 2. A young man named Saul was there. It would not be long until Saul himself would also look up into the heavens and see the Lord, become an apostle for the Gentiles, and suffer many things for the Lord's sake. Paul never forgot Stephen. As Paul neared his own death, he repeated the words of Stephen and said, "All men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge." 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16. And so we come around back to the topic, Stephen the evangelist. I submit that Stephen's great evangelistic work was accomplished through the influence that his courageous faithfulness had on the young man Saul. So, with us, by being faithful in all things, even unto death, God can use us to accomplish his will on earth. The great results of our faithfulness may come after our departure through others who were moved by that example. Now that's the outline somewhat, or the summary of the sermon that I preached that day. And any time you visit Rock Cliff on a Sunday morning, you expect to receive a copy of the Rock Cliff Review. And most often I have either a supplement or a summary or something to do with the sermon that I'll be preaching that morning. It's important to note that this comes from Rock Cliff because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across the Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now that we have completed that special feature, I want to return to our regular study. We're talking about the reign of Saul and some of the things that led up to that. And in our last class, as we were bringing it to a close, we were reviewing Samuel's farewell speech to the children of Israel. And we got down to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 11. And so I'm going to continue reading that, beginning in 1 Samuel 12 and verse 11. Samuel said, "Jehovah sent Zerubbabel and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelt in safety. And when ye saw that Nahash, king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when Jehovah your God was your king. Now therefore, behold, the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have asked for, and behold, Jehovah hath set a king over you. If ye will fear Jehovah and serve him and hearken to his voice and not rebel against the commandment of Jehovah, and both ye and also the king that reigneth over you be followers of Jehovah your God, well. But if ye will not hearken unto the voice of Jehovah, but rebel against the commandment of Jehovah, then will the hand of Jehovah be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand still, and see this great thing which Jehovah will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon Jehovah that he may send thunder and rain, and ye shall know and see that your wickedness is great which ye have done in the sight of Jehovah, in asking you for a king. So Samuel called unto Jehovah, and Jehovah sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared Jehovah and Samuel. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto Jehovah thy God that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not. Ye have done all this evil, yet turn not aside from following Jehovah, but serve Jehovah with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then would you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For Jehovah will not forsake his people, for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased Jehovah to make you a people unto himself. Moreover, as for me, be it far from me that I should sin against Jehovah in ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear Jehovah and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 1. Saul was 40 years old when he began to reign. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the Mount of Bethel. And 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and also that Israel was had in abomination with the Philistines, and the people were gathered together after Saul to Gilgal. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 5, And the Philistines assembled themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and the people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash, eastward of Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were in distress, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and rocks and coverts and in pits. Now some of the Hebrew had gone over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead, but as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. We're going to mark that and get back next class at 1 Samuel 13 and verse 8.